Have you ever stopped to consider how terrifying the unexpected is for the unprepared? Well, most of the time, we like to know what's about to happen, how it's about to happen, and most importantly, why is it about to happen? Doing so gives us the illusion of control, which in itself gives us a measure of comfort and peace. But the unexpected upends that comfort and peace again and again. Because just when we think we've got everything figured out, something unexpected happens, which throws our plans out the window. Reality barges in and dispels the notion that we have total control over our lives. That's why we're nervous about going to the doctor to get test results back. It's why we get antsy when worship goes past noon. And it's why our first reaction to a surprise party is always horror, not happiness. We don't like to be interrupted with the unexpected. We don't like to be surprised. We don't like to be reminded that we're not in control. Friends, if being surprised by the unexpected isn't your thing, then the Bible's just not for you. If you're easily startled, shaken, and shocked by things you can't control, the Bible's not for you. And if you think you've seen and heard it all, then the Bible is definitely not for you. But actually, it is. Because in a world where we long for the expected and controllable, the Bible confronts us with good news that's unexpected and uncontrollable. More specifically, the news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Savior of the world, has been born unto us. Today, we're going to spend some time with the first people to be interrupted, surprised, and terrified by this good news, the shepherds from the Christmas story. And as we think about what this surprise meant for them and what it continues to mean for us today, we'll continue caroling our way to Christmas as we explore the timeless carol that was inspired by their story, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, this particular carol was written by Charles Wesley, who was an 18th century English Methodist leader and hymn writer. In fact, Wesley wrote over 6,000 hymns, more than any other male writer. And the reason he wrote these hymns was to teach the poor and illiterate sound doctrine. After all, even if someone couldn't read the Bible, they could at least learn to sing its truth. And the first stanza of this carol, which we sang earlier, it describes the good news of the Savior's birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Through, no pity clap. No, get out. Listen, nothing much more I hate than a singing preacher. So the fact that y'all haven't left yet, and I'm on total sleep deprivation this weekend too, so y'all are getting the worst of the worst in terms of that. So through these beautiful words, Wesley makes known an even more beautiful truth. God's salvation has arrived at last, and for those who welcome him in, they will be reconciled to God. Since this is good news of great joy for all the world, every nation should joyfully rise and proclaim the news that Jesus is King. The next stanza of this carol speaks to the unexpected and mysterious aspects of Jesus' birth that we're so quick to forget because we're so used to the song and so used to who Jesus is. Think about it. Born of a virgin, God in the flesh, an everlasting and eternal Lord. The world wasn't expecting salvation to look, sound, or arrive anything like this. Then again, God's plans are always better than our own. This carol concludes with its final stanza by praising Jesus for his arrival and reminding all of us of what he came to do. Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Jesus has come in power, might, and love to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. and through the salvation and forgiveness offered by him, we always have a reason to sing glory to the newborn King. As powerful as this Christmas carol is, the scripture on which it's based is even more powerful. For as we sing of the unexpected and glorious gift of God's Son, we have to first look at and think about those who received this wonderful gift so many years ago. To do that, let me invite you to turn with me to the story of the shepherds as found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, we'll have it on the screen here in just a moment. So beginning in verse 8, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told." The angels came to these simple shepherds while they are in the middle of one of their everyday routines. Out there in their fields, they were tending to their flocks, probably some sheep and some goat. And above anything else that could be said about these shepherds, they are just ordinary people going about their ordinary lives. You know, when you stop and think about it, isn't that what the birth of Jesus is really all about? It's about God meeting us. Not on high and holy days, but on ordinary days, in ordinary places, in an extraordinary way. The birth of this child is about God coming to us in our everyday lives and saying, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news." By meeting us where we are, God meets us in places of pain and loneliness. He meets us in places of frustration and anger. He meets us in places of doubt and fear. No matter where we may be, our extraordinary God meets ordinary people like us wherever we are and however we are. And I think that's why God sent the angels to the shepherds first and foremost, to let us know that this child was born for all people, even the most unassuming and ordinary. There in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, can you begin to imagine the reaction of these shepherds to this unexpected appearance by the angels? Y'all, they were scared to death. In this moment, they took the appearance of angels to be some kind of an omen, as though God was about to bring his wrath down upon them. But as God's servants always do, their first words to the shepherds were words of peace and comfort. "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." With that, the heavens opened with glorious music. The heavenly choir praised God and said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." In the midst of a routine evening spent doing their jobs, these ordinary shepherds became unlikely recipients of the greatest news ever to reach human ears. And as unlikely as it is to meet God in these ordinary, unassuming moments, I think that's where God tries to meet us most days. He likes to try and meet us in the middle of our routines, because if there's anything that God loves, it's a good surprise. For you see, whether we admit it or not, most of us don't go about our days looking to see where God is at work in our lives. So on those days and in those moments when God decides to actually say something to us, we're immediately terrified because in some small way, those moments remind us that, oh my gosh, God does exist. God is real. These aren't just things in my head. This is an absolute universal truth that God is real and He has something to say to me. When you calm down enough to realize that this real and mighty God has something to say to someone as unlikely and ordinary as you, you pay attention. Now, unlike the shepherds, you probably don't have choirs of angels waking you up in the middle of the night to share amazing news like this. So instead, you and I have to pay extra attention to all the other ways that Christ can be speaking to our hearts today. Maybe God is speaking through the people in your life. Maybe God is speaking through the opportunities that you're presented with. Maybe God is even speaking to you in those moments of pain and grief. Who knows? But regardless of how the message is sent, God is still speaking to unlikely, ordinary people like us, and we need to find the right ways to listen. Now, returning to those stunned shepherds standing in the field, they're still trying to grasp everything that the angels are telling them about this newborn Savior. But before they have the chance to ask any questions in return, the angels, they finish their song and they disappear into the night. But before they leave, they invite these unlikely, ordinary shepherds to come and see the child that they've been singing about, that they've been proclaiming to the shepherds and by de facto to the whole world. Now, shepherds, by their trade and profession, would be hard-pressed to abandon their flocks in the dead of night. But this invitation, the invitation attached to this amazing news, it convinces them to do just that. They had to go and see whether what these angels had been saying was the truth. They had to make sure they weren't crazy and seeing visions, that a Savior had actually been born in their little town. So stepping out on faith, the shepherds left their flocks behind and headed into town to find the newborn Messiah. Here's how Scripture describes that scene. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You know, truthfully, I wonder what it was like when the shepherds walked into the manger and saw Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. I also wonder what it was like for Mary and Joseph when this ragtag group of shepherds made their way into the manger. For a moment, you've got to imagine that each group is thinking the same exact thing. I can't believe what I'm saying. I can't believe these are the people who are an integral part of this story. For Mary and Joseph, they couldn't believe that out of all the people in Bethlehem, or in fact, all the people in the world, these mangy, transient shepherds would be the first ones to bear witness to salvation's arrival and to meet the Christ child himself. And for the shepherds, they couldn't believe that salvation's arrival had been entrusted to the hands of a young, unmarried couple in a manger. But as they processed their thoughts, I think both groups eventually came to the same realization. God's Son hasn't come to bring salvation to the likely candidates, but to unlikely people like us. In this moment of realization, rejoicing began to break out among these unlikely people, sharing an unlikely moment in an unlikely place. For here in this ordinary town on this ordinary night, an extraordinary child had been born to bring salvation to the ordinary people like Mary, Joseph, and these shepherds. This was the news that brought rejoicing to this manger, and it's news that these shepherds began to spread far and wide after they left. Truly, the angels had brought these shepherds good news of great joy. And now, it was time for the shepherds to continue proclaiming that message of salvation to the world. You know, for ordinary people like us, the Christmas story should fill us with joy. For salvation has arrived in an unexpected way through an unassuming Savior to an unworthy people. Filled by this joy, we're called to continue proclaiming the good news that the angels and the shepherds first declared so long ago. Because in many ways, our world has largely forgotten what Christmas is all about. But we, you and I, we can be those messengers who appear in the night to shake this world out of its slumber. We can be those unlikely proclaimers who show up in unexpected places to declare God's extraordinary love for ordinary people like us. All you have to do to be that messenger is to stand in the presence of the Lord and remember why He's with us, what He's done, and what He's still doing today. For you can't share the good news of Christmas without being first shaken, surprised, and shocked by it yourself. So why is Jesus here? What's He done? And what's He still doing today? Well, today's carol can help us remember the answers to all these questions and more. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons and daughters of earth. Born to give them second birth. That's the message you and I are called to proclaim through our lives. That Christ has come to save. That He's come to bring us out of the darkness and into the light. That He's come to do the unexpected in the lives of unlikely and unworthy people. As we go forth to share this unexpected news with an unprepared world, let's remember to proclaim it as the shepherds did long ago. Loudly, humbly, and most importantly, joyfully. Because this world we live in, friends, this world needs to hear about Jesus. And they need to see why the news of His birth is good news indeed. And for that, we can all sing glory to the newborn King.